This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Tonight's story night is entitled Stories from the Seerah, and it's dedicated to the one who delivered the revelation, taught mankind the meaning of their creation, and was a means of liberation and inspiration to the world in this blessed nation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what better story to start with than the first revelation, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would seclude himself in a cave. Just like we are now secluded in our own caves. Dad probably has his man cave. Mama has her man cave, okay, which is the whole house, probably. Allah bless our wives and our mothers. Just as we are secluded and isolated, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would isolate and seclude and stay by himself in the cave Ghar Hira. And why would the Prophet go to the cave of Hira, which is in the Jabal, the mountain of Nur? It's mentioned, كان يتحنث. He would go there, and a translation would say he would go there to worship. But the hadith doesn't say يتعبد. Rather, it says, doesn't say يتعبد, which is to worship, but rather it says يتحنث. What's the difference? يتعبد means to worship, and as they say, meditate. And when we say meditate, it wasn't like the meditation that we know people do today, where they sit and they do that and yoga. No, as Muslims, we don't do that stuff. We have salah, which is far greater and far better. But the hadith says yatahannath, and the word yatahannath comes from the Arabic word hinth, and hinth means sin. Al-hinth al-azim, this is in the Quran, the great sin. So what does it mean the Prophet used to go and sin? No, it doesn't mean that. He used to go to cleanse himself of sin. He used to go to wash away the effects of sin that were he was being affected by from the society. See, the Prophet Muhammad lived amongst the kuffar. Just like us, we live amongst the kuffar. We live amongst non-Muslims in the West. So back then, the non-Muslims, of course, they used to do various sins and evil deeds, like, you know, worship idols. They used to, you know, drink alcohol. And just like in our societies today, we see a lot of filth. Maybe it's on TV or when we're driving or in the shops. And so this is a very valuable lesson for us, boys and girls, that just as the Prophet Muhammad would go to a cave and seclude himself and pray in a way that he knew to clean himself of, you know, whatever was happening in society, likewise, we should do the same. Whenever we're affected by what's happening around us, we should seclude ourselves and worship Allah, seek knowledge, read beneficial books, do things that are beneficial with the family to cleanse ourselves as well from the filth of what's happening outside and in the society. Especially today with what's happening, we can use this as an opportunity to draw closer to Allah. Some people are crying because they can't go and do whatever they used to do, but we should rather take advantage of these moments and to get closest to Allah Azza wa Jal as possible, and also as close as we can to our family. So what happened as soon as one of the evenings? So one of the evenings, the Prophet ﷺ was in the cave of Hira, and this was in the month of Ramadan. In the month of Ramadan, what ends up happening? The Prophet Muhammad receives a special visitor. And this visitor was none other than, I'm sure you all know who. You can yell out at the screen, even though I can't hear you. This visitor was Jibreel alayhi salam. And Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. And you can imagine the Prophet was in this mountain. He was in this cave. He's worshipping Allah in whatever way he knows. And all of a sudden, he receives a visitor. And that's scary. Imagine, in the middle of the night, you receive a visitor. You're not expecting someone, you know, knocks on your front door. Hey, minhada, go see who it is. All right, everyone gets down. All right, shh. See who it is. You peek through the window, right? We don't want to answer the door these days. You know, 20, 30 years ago, someone knocks on the door, you go sliding up. Hey, look who's here. It's Habib from, you know, the Habibs in Bankstown. Ahlan wa sahlan, tfaddal. What were you doing here? You know, I was just in the neighborhood. I was, you know, walking around. I thought, I'll come and see. Yeah, come and see the kids. And that's what happened 30 years ago. Now, someone knocks on the door, we're all scared. You know, did you invite someone? get down, and we crawl and we see. So the Prophet received the visitor and he was scared because he wasn't expecting anyone. And it was Jibreel alayhi salam. Imagine, and then on top of that, he knew him by name. Imagine some stranger comes up to you and says, I know some of the names here from the students, I can tell. Someone says, ah, Bilal. Hey, Bilal. Hey, or Ishaq, Isra, Fatima. Imagine someone calls you by name, you never even know this person. You used to get scared. So he said, ya Muhammad, iqra, read. The Prophet Muhammad, imagine someone comes up to you, a stranger, and says, ah, see this? Here, read this. Okay, read this. It's about vaccinations, read it. Like, whoa, take it easy, right? You'll get scared. So Jibreel says to him, read, and he came in the form of a man. Who's this strange man? I've never seen him before. Read. And the Prophet Muhammad, what does he say? And this shows you how truthful Rasulullah was. He says, ma ana biqari. I'm not a reader. And ma in Arabic is to cancel all tenses, past tense, present tense, and future tense. You know, you could say, I didn't used to read, but now I read. No, ma means all times, all tenses. I never was a reader, and I never will be a reader, basically. That's what he's saying. I never have been a reader. And the B and ma ana biqara, the ba here means it's used for tawqid, for certainty. Yani, no doubt, I can't read at all. Yani, you got the wrong guy. You know, sometimes people get arrested. Hey, what are you doing? The police officers, you're under arrest, right? You broke the lockdown rule. Okay, your mask fell off at Aldi's. We're arresting you. Right? You got the wrong guy. You know, here's my mask, all right? My mask is here. I'm using my hand. So the Prophet is saying, ma'ana biqari, I have never been a reader. I'm still not a reader, subhanAllah. And that shows you his truthfulness. You might say, how, Mr. Bizri? How does that show you the Prophet was truthful by saying, I'm not a reader? Imagine someone came up to you and the Prophet was 40 years old at the time. 40. Today, someone can't read at 40. That's seen as an embarrassment, right? You're not going to tell a total stranger that. Someone comes up to you and says, here, read this, and you can't read. You're going to say, get out of here, man. I don't have to listen to you. But the Prophet was so truthful that the first word, the first response, the first answer that came out was a truthful one. It's like truthfulness was running through his veins, that the first thing that came out was honesty, subhanAllah. And usually when we're under pressure, the first thing that comes out is a lie. Did you do that? Oh, Baba, I didn't do it. It was Aisha. Right? Sorry, Baba, I had to throw you under the bus. All right, we throw our siblings under the bus. Yeah, they did it. The first answer that comes out usually is a lie. Why? Because we don't want to get that atle, which I'm sure you're not going to get. You don't want to get in trouble from mom or dad or whoever's asking you. But the first answer that came out was, I'm not a reader. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What an amazing. And of course, back then, many people couldn't read at that age. It was normal. You may say, but how can the Prophet Muhammad not read? And then, mom, how come you're telling me to read all the time? I want to be like Rasulullah. I don't want to read. The Prophet couldn't read. No. Because the first word that Allah revealed to Rasulullah was read, iqra. And this shows you the miracle, because how can the Prophet Muhammad come with this amazing Quran and he couldn't read? Because if the Prophet could read, people will say, the Prophet copied it from someone. He copied it from somewhere. You know, today, someone produces, they hand in an assignment, Mr. Iqbal or Mr. Salsabil, you know, you have to do an assignment and you hand it in. Wow, this is awesome. Oh, where did this student get this information from? They probably got it on Google. They can read. They copied it from somewhere. Well, if the Prophet Muhammad could read, people will say that. They'll say he learned it from the Bible. He learned it from the Torah. He got it from a monk. He got it from a priest. He got it from somewhere. But because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam couldn't read or write, that shows you that no doubt, 100%, the Quran is from Allah azza wa jalla, not from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad didn't come up and make up his own Quran. It's not from him. The Quran is the words of Allah. Says ma ana biqari. So Jibreel squeezes him really tight, really tight, and we're going to mention why in a moment. The Prophet Muhammad said, I felt like my soul was going to come out. Imagine that. He was squeezed so tight, subhanAllah. He felt like he was, his soul, he was about to die. Allahu Akbar. And then he released him. He let him go. Then Jibreel says, Iqra. Second time. And the Prophet said, Ma ana biqara, I'm not a reader. Again, his truthfulness. So Jibril squeezed him a second time, really tight, subhanAllah, and let him go. He said, I thought I was going to die. And then he said, Iqra, third time. The Prophet said, I'm not a reader. I can't read. You got the wrong guy. And that's when Jibril alayhi salam, he recited the first five ayat from Surah Al-Alaq, and it's also called Surah Iqra. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama min qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Those first five verses were given to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is when Allah's rahmah and mercy descended upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and on not just the Muslim ummah, on planet Earth one last time for the final revelation, or another time to be, inshallah, what will be, inshallah, after 23 years, the last time Allah Azza wa Jal will ever send revelation down to the earth again, subhanAllah. This was the beginning. This was the beginning of prophethood. So the ulama said he became a prophet with those words. Nubbi'a bi-iqra. When iqra was given to Rasulullah, that's it, you're a prophet, subhanAllah. He earned it. He earned it because of the noble, honorable man he was, the truthful man he was. And he became a messenger later on with Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir. So, and with Qum Fa Anzir. So the Prophet ﷺ was given these words and he said, I felt as if those words were etched on my heart, as if they were like carved, you know, on my heart, subhanAllah. You know, when there's stone and you carve something in it, or hopefully not at one of the tables at home or at Sunnah Life, you carve something with your pen or a ruler or something sharp and it stays there. The Prophet said, I felt as if those words, that's it. They were etched on my heart. They were carved on my heart. And Rasulullah ran out of that cave. He ran and he was scared. He ran out and he looked up. He said, I saw that being, which was Jibreel, and his true form. Now he was as an angel. وَقَدْ غَطَّ الْأُفُقِ. The hadith says, Jibreel alayhi salam covered the whole horizon. 600 wings covering the whole horizon. You know, a jumbo jet doesn't even cover the horizon. And a jumbo jet is huge. It's huge. It's colossal. Jibreel alayhi salam was so enormous, magnificent, glorious that he covered the whole horizon. Wherever the Prophet looked, all he could see was Jibreel alayhi salam. And then that's when Jibreel said, I am Jibreel and you are Muhammad, the messenger of Allah. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ran home. Where does he go? Who does he call upon? He doesn't call his friends. You know, today someone gets in trouble, they call the police, right? Or if it's the government, they'll call the army now. Or they'll call the Habibs. Bro, you got to help me. This guy is attacking me. He wants me to read. I don't know what I'm reading. Imagine that. The Prophet rushes home. He rushes home to his wife Khadija. SubhanAllah. And this once again shows you he's a true prophet. It shows you, no doubt, he's not a fake. Because he was really scared and he was shaking. And he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up. He was trembling. Again, showing you he's a true prophet. He's not a fake. And if you've ever been really scared in your life, you actually shake. I've seen people who are actually terrified. They begin to shake, subhanAllah. And you can't fake that. And he rushed home to his wife, subhanAllah. You know, today, some people, they're embarrassed when their wives call and they're with the boys, they're with their friends. Their wives call, excuse me, fellas. And he goes to a corner. Yeah, Habibi. Yeah, all right, I'll get the milk. All right, I'll get it. Yeah. And the nappies. I'll be there in a second, fellas. Oh, yalla. Yeah, all right, Habibi. Yeah, good dick, she, I love you. And he's embarrassed because his friends are going to hit. No. That's my wife. I love my wife. She's my family. You see? And sometimes kids, you know, getting dropped off at Sunnah Life. Come give me a kiss. Oh, mama. And she's kissing him. Oh, I love you. And she's giving him all these nicknames. Ya Habibi, Albi, Ruhi. You know? And it's like, oh, please, mom, not now. We get embarrassed, but we shouldn't be embarrassed. Shouldn't be embarrassed of your mom. You wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for mom and dad, of course. So the Prophet ﷺ wasn't embarrassed to go home to his wife. She's, you know, his wife, she's his family, she supported him. And this teaches us as well, you know, the mothers, they are the ones that support their husbands. Yes, the husbands at the moment are in a very difficult, for most husbands, of course, in a very difficult situation. Many are without work, you know, with lockdown. And this is when us husbands need our wives the most because we're going through a tough time. So this is when the husbands need the support of their wives. You know, they're going through a very stressful time and money can really stress you out, cause you a lot of anxiety if you don't have it, subhanAllah, it's very difficult. But he went to his wife, Khadija, and she gave him that support. And he said, cover me up. I fear that a shaitan is attacking me. The Prophet Muhammad thought this was a shaitan. This was a devil, a jinn or something. And what did Khadija say? You know, if imagine someone came to you and said, I think there's a shaitan attacking me outside my house. You know, he's flying somewhere. You say, oh, really? Show me. What, you take a photo? All right, take a photo. We extend it to all our friends on WhatsApp. We'll do a vlog. We'll take a selfie as well. All right. If that happened, we'd ask these questions. But as soon as she heard from her husband, I think I'm being attacked from a shaitan, what did Khadija tell him? She said, no, Ya Muhammad. Of course, she didn't say Ya Rasulullah because she didn't know yet that he's a prophet. She said, Allah will never disgrace you. Allah will protect you. And this is a lesson once again for the wives, but anyone who hears another Muslim or another person doubt themselves. I'm a failure. I'm not doing the right thing. And I'm a loser. And I'm dumb. And that's when you got to step in and not say, yeah, you know what? I think you're right. No, don't say that. Don't say, hey, you have a good point. No. You have to lift them up, support them. She said, no, Allah will never disgrace you. Because you're a man who's honorable. You look after the orphans. You feed the poor and the needy. You connect the ties of kinship. You don't cut off your family. You're an honorable man and Allah Azza wa Jal will honor you. And so this shows you Khadija's fiqh, her understanding, even before Islam. SubhanAllah. Look how she was an honorable woman. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make the women of this ummah honorable women and supportive women like Khadija radiallahu anha. And of course, and the men to follow in the footsteps of the greatest messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And little did he know that he was a prophet, subhanAllah, and that's when amazing things happened after that. So we're going to take a 5-minute break now, inshallah. So if you want to refuel on some of the munchies that you've had, and then we'll reconnect because the meeting will end shortly, and then we'll go up until 9:05, bi'idhnillah, which is only 25 minutes away. So we'll end it now and we'll reconnect in approximately 3 or 4 minutes and we'll start in 5, inshallah, at 8:45 bi'idhnillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. Continuing from the stories of the seerah, and the seerah means the biography, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for your information, the word seerah can be used for anyone. We can say seerah to Abu Bakr, the life of Abu Bakr. Seerah to Umar ibn Khattab, the life of Umar ibn Khattab. But usually when we hear the word seerah, usually it refers to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So continuing from the stories of the seerah, the next short story is a little bit shorter than the previous one. Since we just finished from Eid al-Adha, we'll mention a story regarding sacrifice. So once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man who was about to sacrifice a sheep, and he had laid it down on the ground and he put his foot on its neck. And as he's doing that, the man was sharpening his knife, right? And he's looking down at the sheep as the sheep looked up, terrified. Right, it was squirming. It was going crazy. All right, you can imagine that. Imagine it's like, oh, I can't wait to sacrifice you and slaughter you for dinner tonight. You know, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? This sheep. You know, Baba, I'm hungry. Yeah, it's coming. Don't worry. Look. You know, and that sheep's looking. You know, what's going on? So the Prophet Muhammad, when he saw that this man had put his foot on its neck and he was sharpening, you know, the knife. And the sheep looked on terrified. The Prophet Muhammad got upset. And he said, do you want this sheep to die twice? The first, it's going to die from heart failure. It's going to have a heart attack, thinking what's going on. And then the second is going to be its real death. SubhanAllah. And he said, if you're going to sacrifice or slaughter an animal, sharpen the knife privately elsewhere. And then, and the Prophet Muhammad actually taught us how to sacrifice an animal. The Prophet Muhammad has taught us it from the Sunnah to sharpen your knife beforehand elsewhere and to use a sharp knife. And by using a sharp knife, it's actually merciful for the animal, because using a blunt knife, it's going to cause it pain. Whereas a sharp knife is actually after, from once the two out of the four arteries are cut, the animal doesn't feel a thing. So the Prophet Muhammad is saying, this is how we show mercy even to an animal, even to an animal that is needed to be sacrificed, subhanAllah. And not to sacrifice an animal in front of its family, other animals, etc. SubhanAllah. So this shows us the mercy and the compassion that the Prophet Muhammad showed even to a sheep that was about to be sacrificed and slaughtered. SubhanAllah. Yeah, and in a few moments, there'll be no more sheep. There'll be no more sheep. But the Prophet Muhammad is teaching us how to even be towards sheep. So if this was how the Prophet Muhammad was towards an animal, and not just that, an animal that is going to be eaten, then imagine how he was towards people. And not just normal people. Imagine just like ordinary, like not ordinary people, but Muslims. Muslims. And imagine how he was towards his own family. Why am I saying this? I wanted to highlight the importance of good character, not to your pets. Yes, that's true. You need to show manners and good character towards your pets and animals in general, but also to fellow Muslims, but most importantly, our family. Because now in lockdown, you're going to be in each other's faces. Get out of my room. I told you not to get out of my room. Stop touching my stuff. I don't know how many times have I told you, look, oh my God, you ate my food. You ate my last cupcake. Or who took a bite out of my, you know, my halal sausage roll? And we're in each other's faces. Oh my God, you left the toothpaste open and it's all over the, you know, the sink, and you left the water running or used up all the hot water. I don't know if that's possible anymore. Back in my time, it was, you know. My big brother, big sister had a shower, no more hot water. Happened at the Sunnah Life camp, the Tarbiyah camp. Remember that, Khattab? The boys, oh gosh. Oh, alhamdulillah. They used up all the hot water. I don't know how that happened. We got a big tanker outside in the back. Yeah, Adam knows. Adam, mashallah. Adam Tariq, tabarakallah. You're a machine, mate. He had a cold shower in the middle of winter. Mashallah. And that's why he got the Fearless Fighter Award. Allahu Akbar. And you too? Yeah, you had a warm shower. Was it warm? Lukewarm. Okay, cold. You had a cold shower too. Why is this screen so dark, by the way? Can you turn on those lights there? Or the hallway light, please? I'll just try and fix this. Let me see. Yeah, that's good. That's better. So what was my point? Yes. In lockdown, we're in each other's faces a lot, especially with our loved ones. So if the Prophet Muhammad was kind towards an animal, on top of that, an animal that's about to be slaughtered, imagine, okay, and you will probably want to slaughter your own siblings sometimes and brothers and sisters. No, we need to show even more compassion and mercy. And that leads me on to the second story. And that is, once again, another incident with an animal. And this was a bird. This is a bird. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, his companions, his friends, they were on a journey. Come closer, boys. Gather around, my children. Gather around. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam was with the Sahaba, with his close friends. And they were on a journey, on an expedition. They were traveling. You can imagine they had horses and camels, caravans, and they were on this journey. Out of nowhere, a bird flies over to Rasulullah. And it rests, Allahu A'lam, where it stopped, but it rested somewhere and it began to speak to the Prophet alayhi salam. Yes, animals have their own language. Animals communicate, but we don't understand, of course. Except Sulaiman, he understood. He was a human who understood the language of animals, subhanAllah. And maybe one day we'll take his story, amazing story, Sulaiman alayhi salam. And before Superman, there was Sulaiman. All right, they say Superman could fly and he's made up. Sulaiman alayhi salam was the one who could fly, and he used to fly for real. Allah gave him control of the winds and it would take him wherever he wanted. Anyway, the Prophet alayhi salam was also given the miracle of understanding at times the language of animals, and he understood what the bird was saying. The bird said to Rasulullah, it said, thank you, Isra, for that that nice icon of the bird. The bird said, Ya Rasulullah, one of your companions has taken my two eggs, my two babies, basically, and I want them back. So what does Rasulullah do? And imagine there's an army marching towards, okay, to an enemy to defend its country or its city. Imagine that. An army is marching and an animal, all right, stops the commander. What is the commander going to do? He'll probably take out his weapon and get rid of it. All right, or if he does understand, who's that before? Like, hal anni, you want an egg? Here, I'll give you two eggs. You boys, make this bird some you know, two sunny side eggs, pronto. Right, he won't stop the whole army. This is an important mission. Nevertheless, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stops all the caravans, the horses, the camels, everyone. Stop and gather. Allahu Akbar. Ya Rasulullah, what's going on? What's so important? Did you receive wahi, revelation from Allah? It was another surah that just came down. New ayat, something about the future, telling us about Dajjal. Did Iblis, did he finally go back to Jahannam or go to Jahannam where he belongs? What's so important? You had to stop the whole expedition, right? Did the enemy retreat? Which they probably did anyway. He said, someone has taken the eggs of this bird. Want to know who it is? Return it back. SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. You can imagine the Sahaba looking around. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that. Imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stops everyone, and you were the person. Okay, you were the person who took the eggs of that bird. Imagine you were the person. What would you do? You choke. You have a heart attack, like that sheep. Your eyes are all back, right? And you have a heart attack. Subhanallah. Yani, even at sunnah life. After sometimes Salat al-Dhuhr, I stand up, or Sheikh Wasim stands up, and we make an announcement. Which student did 1, 2, 3? Yalla, who's going to show us honesty? We did this at the Tarbiyah camp, actually, the SLA camp. And subhanAllah, one of the boys, Zakaria, he raised his hand. I did, Mr. Bizri. Who dirtied the toilet? I did. Who dirtied the bathroom? I did. Allah, what an honest boy. 7-year-old Zakaria Sabuni. May Allah bless him and his family. You know when you do something wrong and you own up, I did it, and you're waiting for the cuff? No, you're not going to get it. All right, you wait. When you own up, wallahi, people will respect you. They'll love you. You might get in trouble. Yes, you might get in trouble, boys and girls. Don't say, oh, I'm, you know, I did it, and then slap on the bottom. But Mr. Bizri said, I won't get in. No, I didn't say you won't get in trouble. You will get in trouble, but not all the time. Sometimes your parents will let you off. Speak the truth and you'll be okay. We all make mistakes. Mistakes can be fixed. But you'll get in more trouble if you lie. Remember that, double trouble. You're in trouble from Allah. So Allah doesn't like the liars. And you'll get in trouble from Mama, Baba, whoever you wronged later on. And people won't trust you. You know the story of the boy who cried wolf? We made our own story. The boy who cried ouch. There's a boy who said ouch about everything. Ouch! Ouch, a rubber, you know the rubbers? A rubber dropped on his toe, ouch. Right. Water dropped on his toe, ouch. And then when he really got hurt, ouch, no one listened. Probably he walked into oxygen. A balloon touched him. Slap your macaf, a balloon. Right. He got really hurt, no one believed him. SubhanAllah. So being honest, this companion, so the Prophet said, who took it? Imagine hundreds of companions. One of the Sahaba stepped forward, I did, Ya Rasulullah. SubhanAllah. I did. And we don't know who that, the narration doesn't say who the companion was. We don't know who it was. That's right. That's not the point. You know, sometimes you do a good deed, you don't have to be known. You know, Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. A man came to warn Musa alayhi salam. Hey man, you better get out of here. Pharaoh and his army are going to come and kill you. He came and did something good. He warned Musa alayhi salam, but we don't know who it was. Sometimes people do good deeds, right? They're feeding a poor person. Oh, you're poor? Here, have something to drink. Right? You don't have to show everyone, look what I did, everyone. look at me on Instagram, social media, Facebook. I'm praying. Okay, I'm praying. Taking a photo, always praying. Just because you do a good deed, you don't always have to tell people you did it. Do it for the sake of Allah. Don't do it for the sake of people. You're doing it because Allah loves the good doers. So you don't always have to be known. Make sure you put my name on that Facebook post. No, we do a good deed for the sake of Allah. Sometimes clean your room, clean the kitchen, clean the house, just because Allah loves those who are clean, because Allah loves the good doers. You don't always have to tell mama or baba. No, you can just do it and you can surprise them. So this man, he stepped forward and he admitted his mistake, and Rasulullah said, give him back. And that teaches you boys and girls that, and we did a PDH lesson today with stage 2 and 3 about, the believer is a believer thinking positively. Sometimes we think negatively because we made a mistake. I made a mistake. I'm so dumb. Oh, I'm a loser. No, we all make mistakes. So instead of saying, I made a mistake, you can say, I can fix the mistake. You can fix the mistake. Mistakes can be fixed, and we learn from our mistakes. So, you know, I made a mistake, but now I know not what to do. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Atbi as-sayyi'ata al-hasanata tamhuha." The Prophet is teaching us, follow up a bad deed with a good deed. You did something wrong, maybe you took something you shouldn't have, return it back, do a good deed. You said something you shouldn't have, say, you said a bad word, say a good word. It'll wipe it out. So you say, I made a mistake, but you know what? I can fix the mistake. I can learn from that. And that's what this companion did. He returned the eggs back to the bird, subhanAllah. And that, another lesson we can learn before we go into the last story, and that is not to take things that don't belong to us. This lesson is crucial. Happens a lot, especially among kids, and especially among siblings with toys and their belongings. You took something from mine, or not sharing. And you know, we should also be mindful of other people's belongings. Just as you don't like people taking your stuff, don't take other people's stuff. Ask them, can I play with that toy? Can I have a go? Can I borrow that? Ask. And then they'll ask you, inshallah. And just because they may have taken something of yours and you didn't like it, that doesn't mean now you go take something of theirs. We said, remember, do good because Allah loves those who do good, not because people do good to me. I'll only treat them good because they're good to me. But those people, I'm not going to treat that person nice because they're not nice. No. You do good to everyone. You do good to your siblings, your friends. Even if they may not be good to you, because Allah loves the good doers. And sometimes being good to someone would make them in return be good back to you. Now, I'm not talking about bullies and people who are toxic. That's a separate issue. Okay, if someone's really giving you a hard time, you know, then you can speak to mom, dad, you can come to myself, you can come to one of the teachers if it's happening at SLA or otherwise, that's different. But we're just talking about things in general that don't happen all the time. And the final story is again showing us how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was with others. One moment, I'm just going to brighten up this screen and his character. Okay. I think that's a bit better. Bismillah. Final story regarding the Prophet's character and how he was with Al-Husayn. The Prophet alayhi salam had two grandchildren, as I'm sure you know, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And Al-Husayn had a bit of a problem. He had an issue with his speech. He would stutter sometimes. And a person who stutters has a problem saying whatever on their mind. Like that. And so Al-Husayn, radiallahu anhu, at times would stutter. As opposed to Al-Hasan. Al-Hasan would actually speak very well. And there was a one time where Al-Husayn, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he wanted to say something, and Rasulullah is his grandfather. And you know, kids with their pa or ma or taita or juddo or grandparents, right? They always want to speak and speak on whatever's happening to them or whatever happened to them or going on in the day. And he began to stutter. And he was stuttering so bad that the people around the Prophet ﷺ began to do those those awkward glances, and they were like, and it became very awkward. very awkward. And they were looking at the Prophet ﷺ to see what was the Prophet's reaction. The Prophet ﷺ was looking at him and he was smiling. He didn't make him feel awkward. Rasulullah didn't finish off his sentence. Yeah, okay, Allah, hurry up. This is what you want to say? Tell me. The Prophet ﷺ was patient and he was smiling and he just kept looking at him. He didn't worry about others. Sometimes something awkward or weird happens or embarrassing happens to others, and what do? We look around. We do that. No. We look and we don't make that person feel awkward or uncomfortable. That's what the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't make him feel awkward or uncomfortable. And he's a kid. He's a kid. And so when he finally said what he wanted to say, the Prophet ﷺ continued to smile and he said to the companions, the friends of Rasulullah, because they're waiting to see what's the Prophet going to say. He said, لَقَدْ وَرَثَهَا عَنْ عَمِّهِ مُوسَى. He has taken this stutter, he has inherited it from his uncle, meaning he's, because the Prophet ﷺ is a prophet, his grandfather and the prophets are brothers. He's saying from his uncle, yani his great uncle, Musa ﷺ, because Musa ﷺ had a similar stutter. Because when Musa ﷺ was a baby, Pharaoh wanted to see, is this child going to be the one who defeats me and beats me later on and ruins my kingdom? He put a hot coal and he put something valuable. And he wanted to see, is this a smart kid or not? And Allah made Musa alayhi salam take the hot coal and put it in his mouth. It was probably the other one was food, I'm not sure. But one of them was hot coal. And that's how Musa alayhi salam had at times like a knot, or it was difficult for him to say what he wanted to say. So look how the Prophet alayhi salam was with Al-Husayn, and teaching us, boys and girls, that if someone has a problem, maybe stuttering, it could be another problem, maybe in sport, whatever their issue is, we shouldn't use that to put them down. We should use it to raise them. We should lift them up, give them love, give them support. That's what he needed then. And that's what people who have issues need. If someone has a problem, maybe anger, or maybe they have issues or they're moody or whatever, show them love, show them support, and we can help them. Just like Sufyan ibn Mu'attal, and we'll end here. Sufyan ibn Mu'attal, radiallahu anhu, was a companion who had a problem with sleep. He'd sleep in, and he'd sleep so much. You probably know someone like that. He'd sleep in, and he would love sleep, and it was just very hard to get up. And when they would go on journeys, they would go traveling on expeditions or jihad or whatever, Sufyan ibn Mu'attal was holding them up. And subhanAllah, Mu'attal means, you know, the one that is held up. It's you know, it's like atalat al-siyara, the car doesn't work anymore, it stopped, it's khalas. So Mu'attal is the one that stopped, it's like khalas, you know, he's gone. Yeah, knocked out in sleep. So what did the Sahaba do? Imagine there's a person who loves to sleep. You probably know someone, maybe in your family, they're teased. Sleeping, wake up. Namat. Hala, this is your bedtime story. If you know someone who loves to sleep, we actually put them down sometimes, true? Oh, gosh, they're sleeping again. Oh, get up, lazy bones, bedhead. We give them all the names that we can think of. Oh, yeah, kaslan. The Sahaba said, you love to sleep? Fine. We're going to use you to our benefit. We're going to use you. You're going to help us. They said, you sleep? Take your time, Habibi. Take your time. When you wake up, it's probably dhuhr time. And this is normal now in lockdown. We're sleeping at 2 a.m. We wake up at 2 p.m. When you wake up, you look around and gather anything that we've left behind. So all the Sahaba, they've left. And this one Sahabi, he's, oh, Mr. Bizri left his phone. Oh, okay. Oh, you know, oh, Khattab, you know, left his Lego piece. And he'll grab the things that they have left behind. Because, you know, a big group traveling, they leave things behind. It happened at SLA when we go on excursions, okay? You know, Bilal or Muhammad or Adam or Ibrahim, they've left, you know, or you know, Isra or Rayhana, or as an accident, it happens. We forget we're with our friends, we're having fun on the excursion, and we leave things on the bus, we leave things there. But if there's a person that's left behind, they grab everything and they take it, you know? And then they get back to Sunnah life. Oh, look, I've got everything, guys, here. I've got, okay, this belonged to you. Oh, here you go. So Sufyan ibn Mu'attal, subhanAllah, he was used by the Sahaba to help the Sahaba. See how the companions were with each other? They saw a problem. They didn't put him down. That's what we do, unfortunately. We see someone who's got a problem and we tease them. No. Think, how can I use their problem, okay, their disadvantage for our advantage? How can I use that problem for our solution? How can I use that thing which is bad and make it good? And this is how the Prophet ﷺ was with Al-Husayn. He said he has inherited this. He's taken this from Musa ﷺ, showing us that if you find another person, you know, who has an issue, you know, don't use it to put them down further, you know, but rather use it to raise them, inshallah. Hope you enjoyed story night. This is story night number 3. Stories from the seerah. And there's actually a lot of stories that I had. And of course, we can't get through them all, even if we wanted to. But I'm thinking next Thursday, we continue with stories from the seerah. Maybe we'll take 3 or 4 more. And then the week after that, we'll see if we can continue with that or something else. But please send us your suggestions. And this Sunday is story night with Sheikh Wasim. So we'll allow you guys to, let's see, comment or unmute yourselves, have a few words, share it with your friends.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, surely. All right. Yes, sir.
Hello, Adam.
Hey, Yasser.
Yeah, Ibrahim.
You're going to talk to me. You're going to talk to each other? Fine.
Mr. Bizzy, I pretty much like your house. It looks exactly like SLA, except except the books and the right, and the like right.
Oh, yeah, this light, yeah.
Ibrahim.
Thank you. Yeah. This light was actually at SLA. I was actually at SLA today, believe it or not.
What? Why?
Yeah, how? I had to meet a handyman to do some work. He had to fix the windows. As you know, some of the windows broke.
Oh, yeah. Is it a handyman who came to camp?
Not him. No, another one.
Can I join the online sports with Sheikh Wasim?
The competition. Yes, it's due tomorrow. Yes, the competition is due tomorrow, by the way. So we have three competitions. There's the STEAM, which you can do any artwork, any cooking lesson, anything to do with science or art or engineering or mathematics. Perhaps you want to do a science experiment. If you want to build something, maybe even Lego. And then there's the sport competition. You can show yourself doing a skill, something cool, not balancing books on your head, something to do with sport and fitness. Maybe like a backflip on the trampoline, as long as it's safe and you have your parents' permission. Maybe a blind shot, you know, basketball shot blindfolded. And the third competition is a writing competition. You can write about anything you wish, and it's due tomorrow, 6 o'clock. So high school have class tomorrow till 2, and then I believe 3:30 is a live PE session. PE live. And then 6 o'clock. So you have all day tomorrow primary to come up with something. You can do all three competitions or you can just do one. Whatever is comfortable for you.
Why are you shaking?
You like my message? Meow, meow.
Yes, sir. Come on, you can.
All right, guys. I think we've given you enough free reign on these devices.
Hey, Mister. Now I have to take one quick question. You should do a class. What was it called? We all talk.
Habibi, that happens anyway. What are you talking about?
He says it's boring, Mister.
Isra, I miss you. A class where you all talk. I mean, what's the difference? It happens anyway.
But
it doesn't. You guys are amazing, subhanAllah. You know, I've Assalamualaikum, Suhaib. I've taught in schools for years. I've taught in many schools, actually, public and private. And the best students, and wallahi, I'm not just saying this because SLA is something that I own and I run and I'm teaching at the moment, but the students at SLA are the best students I've ever taught. And that's maybe because, you know, of a number of reasons, but I think really, you know, apart from the tawfiq from Allah, homeschooling, the homeschooling and the tarbiyah that you're getting from your parents is fantastic. Your parents are doing an amazing job, alhamdulillah. We're blessed to have you guys. And then that's also because of the low numbers and that we did the maximum, so it doesn't get out of control like it's starting to now. So we'll end it. Hope you enjoyed the lesson.